begins our second part of Pelegish Begiva. I'd like to just address a question which was raised last time, which is, I think, definitely needs to be addressed. And that was, when I discussed the beginning, when we discussed together the definition of what a Pelegish is, we presented that there was the Rashi's understanding that it was a type of marriage without some form of the security of Ksuba, and the Ramban's understanding that really it's not necessarily even a union of marriage itself. And the question which was raised, and I personally identified with the question very much as well, is that we understand and we're brought up with a moral compass that relationships mean responsibility. And in Judaism, we particularly espouse this message and talk about how a relationship can't be something which can be adopted and dropped at will. There has to be commitment, there has to be something. It's not just a pleasurable relationship. So in view of that, how does a Pelegish fit into this whole worldview? And what could be, I did a little bit of research on this, and this really reflects on another aspect of Jewish law, and this is that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, which is, lo yisiyeh kadesha bivnas Yisrael. There should not be a kadesha among the daughters of Israel. And there's an equal, obviously, command to men, lo yisiyeh kadesha bivnei Yisrael. But focusing on a moment on the woman for a second, what does that mean? What does the kadesha mean? So, just I mentioned this, I referenced this last week, but I'd like to just clarify that. There's a discussion in the codifiers in Halacha what that actually means. The Rambam, and this is what, and I'd like to focus because I think the Rambam is the way that we view the world today in terms of this particular instance, and he says as follows. The Rambam says in a number of places that before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, what would happen is that there could be incidental relationships. If both partners agreed, there could be a relationship without necessarily the commitment of marriage. That was pre-Matan Torah. However, once the Torah was given, and I quote the Rambam, Mishanit ne Torah ne Esra HaKadesha. Kadesha, the Torah said a Kadesha was Asr. Lefichach, kol abo'al isha l'shem zunus, b'lo kiddushim, lo kemina Torah lefisha abo'al Kadesha. Any relationship which does not have a commitment of marriage would fall under the rubric of lo yisiyeh kadesha bivnos Yisrael, which means to say, for both partners, that means to say that that physical relationships are in the context of marriage. That's the way that the Rambam lies out, which means to say, lo yisiyeh kadesha changed the face, the way, the moral compass of humanity, or at least Judaism, as when the Torah was given. That's the way the Rambam understands it. Now, there are a few questions, obviously, on his explanation. First of all, the first thing you have to ask is, Avram Avinu and Yaakov et Pilagshim? But as he's pointing out, that we're talking about at the giving of the Torah when this actually changed. So that's point number one. Yes, sorry.
But Pilagish and Kadesh are not at the same level. Pilagish is much more accepted. It's almost like a second wife. Kadesh is a harlot.
Not according to the Rambam. Not according to the Rambam. The Rambam understands that a Pilagish would be under the rubric of Kadesha. That's his worldview of it, yes. So now what's interesting is, what you have to question is that people after the giving of the Torah also had Pilagshim. It talks about David HaMelech who had Pilagshim. It talks about Gidon who had Pilagish. Right? So
how,
in the Rambam, I'm working in the frame of reference of the Rambam over here, and he understands that it is if there's not a marriage. So now, how do you understand David HaMelech? How do you understand Gidon? And in fact, a number of the Mepharshim on the Rambam, because he doesn't address it specifically, understand that a king... Oh, sorry, I apologize. The Rambam himself does address it in Malachim, and he explains that kings are different. A king has the right to Pelegish, and this is important. Why? Because nobody is allowed to marry anybody the king had a relationship with. However many wives, however that works, nobody else has ever had a relationship with any of his wives or Pelegishim. So in a certain sense, it is outside the frame of what will be the Rambam calls Lo Yisiyeh Kadesha. A king is in a different exception, but regular people, there's no such thing as an incidental relationship. Yes.
Sorry. I don't understand Kadesha as a religious prostitute. From it's under the sort of like Tamar. She presents herself as a
Kadesha. So Tim, are you focusing on the word Kadesha from the word Kadosh, from the word holy? So I understand that the word Kadosh in its most basic sense means set aside. So that's why it's used sometimes, which is interesting because it has like very different meanings in its place. On the one hand, it means very holy, set aside for holiness. On the other hand, it means set aside for a particular activity, right? So now, what you do mention is discussed in some of the Mephoreshim about why Kedusha is related to that, but it isn't limited to that particular instance. What is relevant for us, I'd like to explain. This Rambam views that Loi Siya Kedusha impinges on any form of Pilegesh post-Matan Torah except for a king. Okay? That's how the Rambam understands it. I will note that there are Mephoreshim who disagree. Rashi and the Ramban disagree. They understand that it's only an Isser on a prostitute. It's not about an incidental relationship. It's about a person, be it a female or a male, because the pasuk refers to both, who sets themselves up for illicit relationships. That's, they understand it in a much more limited context. However, as I just want to finish the point, I asked Rabbi Gedalia Dov Schwartz this morning. I spoke to him about this because I was just wondering, our natural sensitivities are that relationships are in the context of marriage. This concept of Pilegesh is very foreign to us naturally. And I asked, where does that come from? Where does that sensitivity come from? Is that a cultural sensitivity? Is that because of our education through one of the eyes of these different Mephoreshim? And he pointed out that if you're going to go with cultural sensitivities, it's very hard to say that our sensitivities to the importance of responsibility in relationships is from the cultural around us. Because take a look what's going on around us. And in fact, if you go into Europe, it's even more overt what the culture represents. And he understood, and I think this is the truth, that Judaism has adopted as its worldview and moral compass this opinion of the Rambam. This has become the way of viewing things. There is no such thing as a relationship outside the context of marriage. That is, meaning, where do these sensitivities come from? This very Rambam itself. That is where our moral compass is set from. This is the way we behave ourselves. This is the way... We try and raise our families. What is interesting about this is how this impacts Pilegesh Begiva. How this impacts Pilegesh Begiva is as follows. Is that means to say that Pilegesh Begiva, this Ish Levi, is not identified as any particular king. Therefore, the Pilegesh Begiva is somebody who is either transgressing this Isser in the Torah of Lo Yisiyeh Kedusha. That's one way of reading, because the Rambam doesn't address it. Or even perhaps more radical, as the Radvaz, who is one of the earlier explanations of the Rambam, says, when commenting on this, "Ba'osa azman hayu noagim heter bedavar." At that time, they were noagim heter. They were being lenient on this matter. And he discussed this thing. Now, that is a very drastic statement to make, because that means to say that in the frame of reference of the Rambam, that if Pilegesh is only after the giving of the Torah something which is an option for a king, then when you see this person, when he says that the society as a whole is stepping back from this, that means to say an Isser Torah. They're removing themselves from a biblical prohibition. That's a very big statement on the times itself. Yes, sorry, Erica.
Yeah, so at the beginning, it says that it came to pass in the days when there was no king.
Right.
So, and people were, they didn't have a king to say, this is the boundary, I have it, you don't. That's the difference between us. So each man is a king in his own.
Right. So that's a little bit of an irony, meaning,
yeah,
meaning in a certain sense, each person thinks that they have this right, when effectively they don't. But again, all this does is really brings out the sadness of the time. Okay, so I just wanted to deal with this sensitively, because I wasn't addressing this last time. I wasn't specifically addressing whether this is, we're talking about descriptive last time. What is a Pilegesh? This is prescriptive. This is, should it happen or not? The Rambam is saying it should not happen. And therefore, our story, in a certain sense, is over the line. Our story is either over the line, or the whole society has refrained from keeping this biblical prohibition. That's just something to...
So these are the things that they refrained from.
Right. But it's a commentary on the time as a whole, meaning it's setting the stage by discussing this as a Pilegesh overtly. Okay, so that's just to put in our frame of mind what's going on over here. And now we can return to the text, the actual psukim. So we last left off on page 2. And this is in the middle of the story. What's happened is we found that they have not been able to find a place. And they wanted to stay in Yavuz. They decided Yavuz is not a good idea. So they keep on moving to get to Ramah. Okay, fantastic. One moment. Okay. So moving forward. This is Pasuk, I think, Tesvav. They went aside from their path northwards, as you saw on the maps, to stay in Giva. And they decided to stay in the streets of the city. And nobody would take them in to dwell there at night. Okay, so we have a similar situation over here to if you're thinking back to Sodom. We're going to deal with this next time, hopefully. They don't have a place to go. Nobody's taking them into the houses. Interesting to note, the word ma'asef only appears in Tanakh 3 times, and one of the other times it appears is in the Torah regarding Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan is called Ma'asef Hamachanos. He was the last traveler of all the tribes, and he'd be there at the end. He'd be like a catch-all, so anybody straggling behind, he'd be Ma'asef. He'd gather them in as they'd move along. What's fascinating about that is if you think about this as a hyperlink. Like the Tanakh is using this specific word, which appears only very infrequently elsewhere, to make us aware that there's a connection between what's going on over here and Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan is important because, again, and the Malbim points this out, as does the Mamlo Eis, is that this references back to the previous story of Pesel Micha. We're in the shadow of the Pesel Micha somehow, and we're going to see how that plays itself out. Okay, so that word is an indicator among others. It's not the only part of the thesis. V'hine, and behold, in Pasuk design, Ish zakein bomin ma'aseyu min ha'esadeh ba'erev. There's an old man coming from his activities in the field in the evening. V'ish mi har Ephraim. The man actually originated from Har Ephraim. He was not an inhabitant. Who gar be'givah, but he just lived in Giva, which is in Binyamin. V'anshe ha'makom b'nei Yamini. And the people of the place were the b'nei Yamini, which is the way of describing people from Binyamin. So, can you tell me, how many excuses does this person have, this old man have, not to bring them in to his to host them? How many excuses do we see in the pasuk over here that he has not to host them?
He doesn't even live there.
He doesn't live there. He could say, this is not my responsibility. Meaning there should be a municipality which has a soup kitchen, whatever it is, this is not my responsibility. Number two was? What was that? He's old, meaning we're talking about over here somebody here who can't just suddenly open up his house and have tens of guests or whoever's walking in. Anything else?
He's tired.
He's coming from his work. He's at a full day work. Right, so the Pasuk is pointing out over here, just in the way it's describing it, that we have a person who has, by every right, the rationale, the ability to be able to say, this is not my responsibility. Right? And ironically, he's the only one who takes the responsibility. Okay, so that's what's being painted for us over here in the Pasuk. That's the Malbim points out in those three points that you all pointed out. And another thing as well, just if you're thinking symbolistically, we have somebody moving out from the field to the city, right? That's the movement, it's the conceptual movement of rural, backward living, symbolistically, to the urban, sophisticated population. Right, that's the movement that the Pasuk is describing over here, which is the dramatic irony that in the place, in the urban metropolis, is the place where bestiality occurs. Right? So he's moving from the field, where the animals are, to a place of humans, where humans act like animals. Yes?
I just want to clarify, both places are Jewish communities?
Yes. Har Ephraim is just the area of Ephraim a little further north, which is where they're traveling to, and where the visitor, the Isha Levi, actually comes from. And he's living a little further south in Giva, which is in Binyamin.
And that is Binyamin.
Yes, so there's all Jewish. All Jewish just happens to come from a different place.
It's a Jewish way to be hospitable.
It is, which is why it's so surprising that nobody else did it. That's the question we have over here. Yeah, Leah.
So does the mom connect Eglah Rufa to that?
Oh. I do not see anybody, actually. That's a very interesting connection. I've not seen anybody say that specifically. That's a very interesting connection. Right, no, I'd have to, they're taking it out into the field. That's a very interesting point. I was going to have to take a little note into that and see if the connections to that. I'd like to just, can we just do one more, two more psukim, and then we'll hold them? So Vayisayinah Vayarisayish Ha'arech, he sees the man who's looking for a place to stay, Birchav Ha'ir, who's dwelling actually in the streets of the city, Vayomer Ha'ish, Hazalkein, Ona Telech Me'ayin Tova, from where you're coming, where you're going to, he's addressing them. Vayomer Lav, Ovrim Anachnu Mi'Beis Lechem Yehuda, Adyakos Sahar Ephraim, we're going from Beis Lechem Yehuda, from Bethlehem in the south, to Har Ephraim in the north, Misham Anochi, that's where I'm from. I went to Beis Lechem Yehuda, Beis Hashem Ani Olech. I'm going to the house of God. Nobody's taking me into the house again. That's the word used again of Ma'asef. Notice he's drawing a special attention to the fact that he is from Har Ephraim, and number two, that he's going to the Beis Hashem, to the house of God, which is in Shiloh, which is in Har Ephraim. Why do you think he is emphasizing where he's from? Why do you think this man is emphasizing where he's from? Har Ephraim.
So he's not identified.
So say more.
Well, not to be identified with this community.
Okay, so you're saying maybe he's actually putting up a division between himself and the community. What else would there be? Why would he identify himself? So it's possible as well, that I was thinking on those lines as well, is that he's identifying himself with the person he's met. The man's from Ephraim. So we don't know it sounds like there wasn't a conversation beforehand. So but assuming that the small talk is out of the way, maybe there was some form of connection. He's trying to find a kinship. He perhaps, and the Malbim ends off with this, and so what we end with, is the Malbim is pointing out that the reason why he says that he's on the way to Shiloh, to where the house of Hashem is because in Har Ephraim there are two places of worship. Again, the shadow of Pesel Mecha. Right, so by saying I'm going to Beis Hashem, even though I'm from Har Ephraim, I'm explaining that I'm not associated with the other pole, with the other type of deity over there. So what we'll do next week, as we